Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We've once again come to that gospel which sometimes we don't get to in a church year, at least to hear a sermon on, because oftentimes we're on vacation at this time of year, but not this year. So we have Trinity 4 before us in the gospel from Luke chapter 6. And although we don't always deal with it together, the world knows this text probably better than any text out there in the world, at least the first three words of it. Do not judge. Period. The end. You can go home now. You know, the world thinks that that's pretty much all the Bible has to say, or all that's really important in the Bible. When Christians point out that certain things are sinful and shouldn't be happening or being taught around us, do not judge, they quote the Bible to us. Well, we have these verses before us to consider this morning, but as we consider them, understand that these words have nothing to say to the unbeliever. Were never spoken to the unbeliever. They were spoken to the children of God. Jesus talking to his disciples. Notice how he begins in our text, "Be merciful just as your Father also is merciful." Jesus is talking to the children of God here, to Christians. And when I say Christians, I'm including the faithful Jews of his day who were trusting in God's promise to save them from sin and death through the promised Christ. Though the word Christian was not yet in use, those Jews who believed in the coming Messiah were as much Christians as you and I are. Jesus is talking here to those who are already in a covenant relationship with God through circumcision for the Jews of his day, or for us who are in a covenant relationship with God through the New Testament form of circumcision, which is holy baptism. He's talking to the Jews of his day who were practicing their religion and to Christians of our day who are practicing ours. If that's not you, then the rest of Jesus' words aren't meant for you either. So for those who are still outside of God's baptismal covenant, he has no teaching about judging or condemning or forgiving or giving. No teaching about beams in your eye or specks in your brother's eye. None at all. For those who are outside of Christ, God has one message. You are already lost and condemned as you are now. And there's not a single thing you can do to change that. No command you can obey or make sure others obey. No instruction you can follow. Already you have despised God, the true God, in your thoughts, words, and actions. Already you have selfishly failed to love your neighbor as God commands. You don't know me at all, and I have no part with you. But as we saw in last week's gospel, God wants to have a part with those people in the world who are unbelievers now. He wants them to be found to know him and to believe in him. He's willing to be their God. And he has gone way out of his way to make atonement for their sins too, and to purchase entrance into God's kingdom for them, and to have his gospel even now preached to them. So after telling them the truth about their sins and their lostness, he also calls out to them in his word to repent and believe in Christ and to be baptized in his name, so that they do come into a covenant relationship with him where he is their God and they are his people. So if anyone ever tries to throw Jesus' words in your face as a Christian, do not judge, you can answer, "Oh, I see you want to talk about the Son of God and mankind's only Savior, Jesus Christ, and His instructions for His holy, blood-bought Christians. Are you one of His disciples too? And if they say no, as they probably will, then insist on talking first about Jesus' message to unbelievers. God's judgment is coming. God's judgment. And there is no one righteous before God. So repent and believe in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, so that you will not perish eternally in God's judgment. If they have no desire for that, then don't waste your time arguing about the commands Jesus gave to His own disciples. People who don't want to live in God's house have no right to throw the rules of God's house into the face of the people of the house. But to you, who are members of the house, disciples of Christ, children of the Heavenly Father through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, baptized into His family and into a covenant of grace and the forgiveness of sins, then Jesus does have something to teach you here in today's gospel. As you learn the rules of the house and how to become imitators of God. And the fact is, it begins and ends with mercy. The same mercy that was shown to you in bringing you a lost and condemned sinner into God's house, and now the mercy that is the rule of the house and how the children of the house behave as they learn to become like their father. Be merciful, Jesus says, just as your Father also is merciful. Now, mercy is pity for the wretched. Mercy is charitableness for the needy. Mercy stands above someone who has been knocked to the ground, whether by their own fault or by someone else's. And instead of ignoring that person down there, instead of trampling that person deeper into the dust, instead of being so happy with yourself that you're not down there in the dust like those poor wretches are, mercy wants to help, seeks to help. Be merciful just as your Father also is merciful. And then Jesus gives us that list of ways to be merciful like your Father. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Do not judge. That isn't a blanket prohibition from ever doing any kind of judging, any kind of deciding between good and bad, right or wrong in your life. Christians are to do that all the time, every day. Here, do not judge means don't stick your nose in where it doesn't belong. To jump into other people's business if your vocation doesn't call for you to do that. Don't pretend to know other people's thoughts or motives as if you could see into their hearts. Don't assume the worst of your neighbor's words or actions or even silence, but assume the best. Don't make yourself the judge of other people if you have not been called to that position. Would you want other people sitting in judgment of everything you do or don't do? Would you want your Heavenly Father to judge you according to the strictness of His Old Testament law, constantly pointing out your every flaw, your every errant thought, your every inexact word? I don't think you would. And to those who are in Christ, He doesn't. He isn't constantly judging you, weighing you in the perfection of every thought, word, and deed. You are, as Christians, accepted in Christ Jesus, so that even your imperfect good works are still considered good for His sake. So be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Do not condemn. Well, if you are not to judge, you certainly are not to condemn. Our sinful flesh has a tendency to expect perfection from other people. Often the same perfection that we think that we have in ourselves. We see it on display in the statue demolitions going on around the country and the school renamings. If people find what they consider to be an egregious fault in someone who lived even decades or centuries ago, then of course they have to be condemned. Their memory erased. Any good deeds of theirs all branded with the stain of their misdeed. It's just another manifestation of the sinful tendency of the flesh to view yourself as flawless, or mostly flawless, and to condemn any who don't reach your standard of goodness. But we also see it in the home, and in the church, and in discussions on social media. Notice a flaw in another person? Well, it's ready, aim, condemn. But that's not what your Father in heaven does. He could rightfully condemn every single one of us. He could be condescending toward us. He could write us off as incorrigible and hopeless. Instead, He shows us mercy each and every day. Be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. What does God in His mercy do with us, His beloved children in Christ? Well, even now, as He has brought us into His covenant of baptism, His covenant of forgiveness, He continues to give daily and rich forgiveness of sins to me and all believers in Christ, as we say in the Catechism. So, you forgive too. Forgive, to forgive is the opposite of to condemn. And in this case also, as in judging, it isn't a blanket command to just forgive everything and everyone all the time in every circumstance. There are times when God Himself does not forgive, as He reveals in Scripture, when a person remains impenitent. But there is always a desire of God for the sinner to repent and be forgiven. And where there is repentance, God gives forgiveness every time. He doesn't keep holding a person's past sins against him or her. In His mercy, He absolves, as you were absolved once again today at the beginning of the service. He forgives for Jesus' sake. He intentionally overlooks our flaws. He smiles a fatherly smile on the penitent. And He expects His children to do the same. And also to give, free of charge, to the one in need. Be generous, not just on the outside, but from the heart. Again, that's what your Father in heaven does. It's what Jesus did here on earth. So be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. And to all these little commands, Jesus also attaches promises of great rewards. You will not be judged. You will not be condemned. You will be forgiven. To you it will be given. Those are incentives that God offers because He knows that we carry around our old man who fights against us to keep us from obeying God's commands. So these incentives to obedience are just another part of God's mercy to us as He helps us and pushes us along to be more like Him. Jesus concludes His instruction in today's gospel with some short parables, starting with the insanity of a blind man trying to lead another blind man. In order to be of use to someone else, in order to give mercy to the one who needs mercy, you have to be able to see. So make sure you know the Lord's will from His holy word. Make sure you know what is right and wrong, and also what's wise. Your personal opinions may or may not be correct, and therefore they may or may not be helpful to another person. But if you walk by the light of God's word, then you can help your neighbor and your brother. A disciple is not above his teacher, Jesus says. A disciple doesn't get to do more than his teacher or less. He doesn't get to condemn more or less. He doesn't get to forgive more or less. He also doesn't get to suffer less than his teacher did. At best, he becomes like his teacher, Jesus says. So study the life of your teacher, Jesus, to see how he helped others. How he didn't go around pointing out everything that was wrong in society or in a person, even though he knew everything that was wrong and is actually the judge of all. How he didn't condemn sinners nearly as often as he could have. And he freely gave forgiveness where there was even a hint of faith. And he freely gave, not money, but of his time and of his attention, of his care and compassion, of his teaching and of his healing. If you're a disciple of Jesus, then learn to be like your teacher. Finally, we have that little parable about the foolishness of trying to remove the little tiny speck in your brother's eye when you actually still have a large beam in your own eye. Before you ever go to help your brother in Christ fix a problem, always begin by examining yourself to make sure you're not guilty of an even greater sin. The Pharisees criticized their brothers in Israel for the tiniest of things, for failing to strain out the tiniest gnat, for taking a few too many steps on the Sabbath day, for not fasting properly, and for picking grains of wheat to eat as they walked along the path. But they missed the bigger things they themselves were guilty of, especially the grievous sin of not showing mercy. So it really does begin and end with that, with mercy. God's mercy went out and sought you and found you and brought you into his house, as we learned in last week's gospel, like a shepherd finding a lost sheep or a woman finding a lost silver coin. Now he teaches you in the gospel how to show mercy to others as you yourself have received mercy from him. God grant us all his Holy Spirit to mold us more and more into the merciful image of our brother Jesus and of our merciful Father in heaven. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.